Good morning, First Baptist Elon. Good to gather in the Lord's house this day, on this beautiful day He has blessed us with, this beautiful Father's Day morning. We are here a little bit earlier, but as you can see, it is already, I think, warmer today already than it was all last Sunday. And that is why we have gathered here a little bit earlier at 9:30 this morning to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is good to gather. We have a full parking lot this morning. Thank you for gathering here for our third Sunday, our third drive-in Sunday here at First Baptist Elon. For those that are joining us on Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us with your family on this beautiful Sunday morning. Those who are listening to us on our website, we want to thank you for joining us that way via our website at www.fbc-elon.org. It is a good Sunday to gather to worship in the Lord's creation. If you have access to our website, you can pull up our order of worship service, worship this morning. That's where you can find not just our order of worship, but the songs for our worship service this morning. We are thankful that Sally Farnham is filling in this morning and leading in our worship this morning. Dave Collins is up in West Virginia this morning. She is worshiping with her son, Jonathan. He is in the process of changing his ministry location in West Virginia, so she and Jerry and Lauren are up there helping him in the process of moving, and he will be preaching his last Sunday, this Sunday in his church before he is in the process of moving to his new location this Sunday. So we pray for them as they're in West Virginia, and we pray for their safe travels back home this week. So we are thankful that we have gifted musicians here at First Baptist Elon that can step in, and Sally, thank you, and Susan and Pump, thank you for being here and leading in music this morning. It is a good day to worship our Lord and Savior this morning on this Father's Day. A couple announcements I do want to make about coming up in the life of our church. I do want to remind you that we did wrap up our Wednesday Bible study, our study of the book of Philippians this past week. That was a 13-week Bible study, and it was fruitful as we walk through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. You can find that Bible study on our Facebook page if you had a chance to join us for that Bible study. If you did not, you can go to our Facebook page and look at those that study guide and those lessons. But we will be starting a new Bible study starting this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. It's called A Study of Understanding, Healing, and Hope. And we'll be using the writings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and reading some of his writings and the biblical foundations for his writings, and excited about this study. This will be a 7-week study that we'll be using Facebook Live as that tool for this Bible study. And I hope you'll join me on that study each Wednesday night at 6:30. That study guide, the outline for that study can be found on our Facebook page now. I'll also be putting a study guide for that each week of that study. And it begins this Wednesday night, so I hope you'll join me in that opportunity to read his writings and study the Word of God, and that begins this week. Also, I want to let you know that this week, this kind of sounds pretty funny, our sanctuary is getting remodeled this week. You heard me right. Our sanctuary is getting remodeled. Now, how often do you say that? Our sanctuary is getting remodeled, and we will be gathering back in our sanctuary this Sunday. So for this week, for 3 days, our sanctuary, our parking lot, is getting repaved. So for 3 days this week, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, our parking lot is getting resealed. So next Sunday, when you gather back in this parking lot, it's going to look completely different. It'll be like you're gathering in a new sanctuary. So come back next Sunday morning at 9:30 for our worship service. Next Sunday will be Graduate Sunday, and it'll be like we've repaved. It's like we're going to be gathering in a new sanctuary. So we're excited about this. We pray for good weather this week, so it'll get done in the proper time. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, please don't come to the church expecting to be able to drive on the parking lot, because you will not be able to do so. The church office is going to be kind of in transit this week. A lot of that work is going to be done from home. We will be trying to get here as much as we can, especially on Thursday and sometime during this week. But I do want to let you know, probably definitely on Wednesday, we will not be in the office. We'll be working from home. Thursday, we'll try to be here. But if you need to get in contact with us, please contact us by our cell phones, and we will try to meet your needs this week. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, this parking lot will be resealed, praying that the weather holds out. So just want to give you that announcement as well. It is a good day to gather in the Lord's house. This creation, this beautiful day, is blessed us with. Let us worship. Let us sing praise to God. Join us in worship. Please stand as we sing together.
Can you hear me now? I don't know how thankful you'll be. I really miss Gay and her singing, because I would much rather be standing here playing a musical instrument. It would probably sound a lot better sometimes. But I will do my best today. Will you stand and join us as we sing Shout to the Lord, and we'll go into Majesty.
My comfort, my shelter.
Scripture reading, y'all can be seated if you're not already. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 4. Very fitting scripture reading for Father's Day Sunday. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. As we reflect on these words this morning, on this day set aside to honor fathers, let us go to the Lord in prayer, our Heavenly Father. Father God, we come to you this morning who has gathered us in. We come to you who has nurtured us like a father. We come to you, God, whose arms are open and waiting. We come to you, God, who welcomes and forgives us. We come to you, God, who journeys with us. We come to you, God, who sees us who as we really are and loves us anyway. We come to praise you, God, our loving, nurturing Father. We are ready to worship this day. Let us worship together. And all God's people said, amen.
Talk of the crows here. I need to join the choir, I think. Will you stand and join me as we sing? He keeps me singing, and you are in my all in all. We're going to do verses 1 and 5 on He Keeps Me Singing.
I shall reign with him on high.
today as we honor fathers, we recognize that fathers come in so many different shapes and sizes, and I'm not talking literally. I'm talking about the impact that men have on children and impact on society as a whole. So today I want to read a litany on the impact that men have on so many in our lives. Let us praise those fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work, marriage, and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. Let us praise those fathers who, lacking a good model for a father, have worked to become a good father. Let us praise those fathers who, by their own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children not now grown their love and support. Let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by the neglect and hostility of their children. Let us praise those fathers who, despite divorce, have remained in their children's lives. Let us praise those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has offered healing. Let us praise those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely choose the obligation of fatherhood and earn their stepchildren's love and respect. Let us praise those fathers who have lost their child to death and continue to hold their child in their heart. Let us praise those men who have no children but cherish the next generation as if they were their own. Let us praise those men who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guides. Let us praise those men who are about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children. And let us praise those fathers who have died but live on in our memory and whose love continues to nurture us. Let us praise those fathers who, as godly men, stand in the representation of Christ, who father children today and stand up and represent our Heavenly Father. Let us praise fathers everywhere, those that are with us today, those that are gathering in their homes today, and those that are not gathered with us today. Today is a day to honor fathers of all shapes and sizes. So at this time, I want to ask that all men that are gathered here today to stand, because you represent fathers of all shapes and sizes. So men, at this time, would you all stand? And today, on behalf of First Baptist Church of Elon, I want to say thank you. Stay standing. Don't sit down yet. I want to say thank you. I want to thank you for the representation of representing our Heavenly Father, because you modeled that representation to those individuals in your lives. And it is a daunting task, but it is a task that you take with respect and honor. And know that as you leave this place today, continue to take that task with respect and honor. Now, for all those that are gathered around you in your family with the proper social distancing, I ask that you stand in honor of them. So everybody else stand. And if you are a part of their family, I ask that you put a hand upon their shoulder. For all those that are gathered by Facebook Live and listening on our website today, place your hand upon their shoulder. And if you do not have a hand to place on their shoulder, if they're too far away, as we did it on Mother's Day, that virtual hand, place that virtual hand upon them if they're not sitting with you today, representing them, honoring them today. And let us pray for our fathers. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for your perfect fathering. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, shepherded and nurtured, disciplined and challenged, so I can flourish in your purpose and plan for me, and bear my Father's image more fully still. Father God, thank you for your perfect example, not just for me, but for every father. I praise you because you show all fathers how to love, to shepherd and nurture, discipline, and challenge, so their sons and daughters can flourish in this world as you have planned, and carry your presence to all they need. Father God, bless all fathers today with wisdom and patience, with courage, and above all, with love for their children and for all children. Father God, bless all children today with openness to correction, with eagerness to learn, and above all, with love for their fathers in all shapes and sizes. Father God, bless all who are fatherless today. Surround them with godly men to teach, affirm, and guide them, and above all, to love them with the love of our Heavenly Father. In your strength, we pray this today. Amen.
You may be seated. You may be seated.
I'm going to let you stay sitting. You'll sing louder, right? Our next song is "This Is My Father's World."
Today, as we take our offering, we'll do it as we've done the last couple Sundays. Some of you have already come and brought your offering forward. If you have an offering, you're welcome to come forward during the offertory and place it in the church that's down here on the table. Tommy and Liz Hill will also walk around with baskets. If you don't want to come forward, you can just kind of wave your arm, and they will kind of circulate the parking lot and take the offering up during this time. In the cars out here, you can just kind of wave your arm out through the car window, and they'll come and come and take your offering at this time. If you will, bow with me for our time of offering. God of great gifts, we give you these gifts today, knowing that you are the Father of gifts. You parent us constantly, providing for us, caring for us. As we have been abundantly provided for, so we give abundantly to the work that you give us to do, the work of the church, the care for those who are poor. Accept these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sally and Bert. Would you pray with me? Oh God, Heavenly Father, that you are, you know, as our Heavenly Parent, what is right for us. You know, as we come to this time where we reflect on this past week and as we think about what the week ahead brings for us, we, too often we only want our way and or no way instead of your way. Father, have mercy when we turn from you. Father, forgive us where we have turned and realized and we've turned away from your fatherly love in the direction that you have sent us. Whether it's happened this past week or whenever we've been plotting for this week ahead. Have mercy upon us indeed, Father, and teach us anew how to follow you. Because it's amazing, Father, how you are, how forgiving that you are. Prepare us to hear and follow you this day. Allow the Spirit to move us in this next little bit, Father. I know the Spirit has already moved in us in the music that we have sung and the prayers that we have prayed and how the Spirit has moved us already in your word today. We are ready to listen. We lift this prayer to you through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, we want to thank you for joining us for our third drive-in worship service at First Baptist Church of Elon, especially on this Sunday, this Father's Day Sunday. Oftentimes, this is a day that we set aside for family, and I know we've got time set aside for family later this day, as many of you do. We are thankful that you decided to join us for worship this morning, whether it's in the parking lot with us or on Facebook Live this morning, and many of you may be listening via our website a little bit later today. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. This is a special Sunday morning. Not just for my family, but not just for myself, but it is a special Sunday morning for the life of our church, our congregation here at First Baptist Church of Elon, and not to recognize that would be a myth. Let's just say that. It is funny, however, that what has brought me to this place, to this spot this morning, began 29 years ago. 29 years ago. You see, 29 years ago, my family, my mother and my father, my older brother Scott and I, were looking for a church home. At that time, the church home that I grew up in from when I was born, Connect Memorial Baptist Church, was just at that time not meeting the needs of what our family were needing at that time. And so we began visiting churches across Alamance County. And in the midst of that visiting time, one of my mother's co-workers at Turntime Middle School, one of her co-teachers, Miss Ann Gray, invited my mom to come visit her home church, which was First Baptist Elon. So 29 years ago, my family visited for worship one Sunday morning. It was not the first church that we had visited, and we enjoyed our time in worship that morning. And it was not the first time, it was not the last time we visited First Baptist Elon. But our family was embraced by the congregation here. And we were impressed by the worship. We were impressed by the pastor. Reverend Norman Harris. We were impressed by the church recently hiring a new youth minister, Stan Baum. We were connected with many of the families here at First Baptist Elon, and after a few visits, after discussions and prayer within that our family on February 24th, 1991, 29 years ago, joined this congregation, First Baptist Church of Elon. Now, I never would have imagined at the age of 13 and 29 years ago that I would be standing right here in a parking lot on a stage preaching in front of a congregation being chosen to be this church's senior pastor. You see, 13-year-olds don't think like that. If you have a 13-year-old that thinks like that, you might want to take them to the doctor. You might want to get their head checked out. But that's where my story began with this congregation. And so this morning, I kind of reflected on that story 29 years ago. And looking back, I knew that God had a plan. You see, as a 13-year-old, I didn't realize what God had in store. But I do know now that God had a plan. That is why this morning I can resonate a little bit with the story of Joshua from the Old Testament. Because you see, just like Joshua stood on the banks of the Jordan River with the tribes of Israel as he was waiting to lead the people into the promised land. And I can imagine he looked back over his shoulder and he thought a little bit like I did. I can't imagine that many years ago that God would lead me to the place where I am right now. But you know what? God had a plan. God had a plan in the past. God had a plan in the present. And God has a plan for the future. So this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. That's our scripture passage this morning. But the same holds true, not just for Joshua, the leader, but it holds true for First Baptist Church of Elon. Because God has a plan for First Baptist Elon in the past, in the present, and for the future. If you have your Bibles, again, we'll be looking at the first chapter of Joshua, verses 1 through 11, and as you turn, I'm just kind of setting the stage of where or what's going on in this historical document. To set the scene of the historical landscape, the tribes of Israel have been wandering the wilderness for 39 years. They basically been walking around for 39 years waiting for God. And you might be saying, why has God been waiting, forcing them to wander around for 39 years? It's because the people of Israel did not trust God. You see, God was ready to take the people of Israel straight into the promised land, but they weren't ready. They weren't ready. They failed to trust God, and God basically said, I'm going to make you wander around in the wilderness until this generation passes away. And once this generation passes away, then I'll let you go in. In that time, what happened? Moses passed away. And then the leadership had to pass on to somebody. And that somebody was Joshua. Chosen by God, passed on leadership for Moses, and then they were sitting on the banks, on the east bank of the Jordan River. So reading Joshua chapter 1, verse 11 this morning. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, at the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land. The Lord your God is giving you for your own. You see, God had brought Joshua and the tribes of Israel to this place. You see, he had been there in the past. As Joshua stood on the banks of the Jordan River, he could look back over his shoulders and see where they had been. He knew the past. Joshua knew the past. He could see the history of the tribes of Israel. He was one of the two, only two, who had experienced what had took place in Egypt. He remembered the plagues. Only two, Joshua, only two had experienced the plagues. Joshua remembered where they had been. He could remember the lessons learned from Moses and Aaron. He could remember the struggles of the people as they journeyed through the wilderness. He could remember the provision of God through quail and manna. He could see God's guidance through the written law and the spoken word. You see, as Joshua stood on the banks of the Jordan River, he could see that God had brought not just him, but the tribes of Israel to this place and for this time right now. He knew that he did not stand there alone. He was standing there on the shoulders of so many people that had come before him. Joshua knew the history. He knew the past. He knew where the Israelites had been. As I stand here this morning, I look back and I can see, just as Joshua did, I can see the history of FBC Elon. I remember ministerial lessons that I have been taught from pastors like Tip Cockman and Norman Harris and Margaret Miller and Mark Mofield. I remember learning what it means to live out your faith from my youth minister, Stan Vaughn. I remember God providing when we expanded this building, this literal building, this fellowship hall, into this education wing. I remember when we remodeled the sanctuary and the sacrifices made by people in this church, families that are sitting in this parking lot right now. I remember the sacrifices made by church members. I remember mission trips taken by individuals and by church groups and by youth groups. I remember Cantata's song. I remember Vacation Bible School share. I remember stews cooked, the prayers prayed. Just as Joshua stood on the shoulders of so many, I remember those stories. Because these are my stories too. Just as Joshua experienced those stories, these are my stories. This is my church. These same hands that helped shape this congregation into the loving church family are the same hands that attracted my family to this congregation 29 years ago. Members like Bob Scott and Del Reese Hughes, Hazel Lewis and Nancy Bowling, Betty Justice, just to name a few, who have had personal impact on my ministry of life. They shaped me into the person I am today. They are who I am today. That's why I stand here today. Because God has been with this church in the past, just as God was with the people of Israel in the past, bringing us to who we are today. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Because God is with us right now. God was with Joshua and the tribes of Israel right now in this moment, in the present. In verse 5, God says, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I can imagine that Joshua was nervous as he stood on the banks of the Jordan River. I can imagine he was nervous as he was about to take the people into the promised land. I can imagine Joshua felt a little bit alone as he, as one of the spies that went into the promised land initially, only he and Caleb came back with positive messages. I can imagine that he was nervous because he had just taken the leadership over from the leader that brought them from Egypt, Moses. I can imagine being nervous. But you know what? God was with them. He constantly said, I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. As his mentor Moses passed away, Joshua felt lonely, but I will be with you. The tribes of Israel were going to need these reassuring words as they were entering the promised land. They were going to need their leader Joshua to personally personify the strength and courage that God commanded Joshua to carry with them. God was with Joshua and the tribes of Israel in that moment, in the present, as leadership changed. And a new path was going to be led because they had never crossed the Jordan River like they were about to cross. It was going to be a new path, and they were entering a brand new land. That's what we're facing, a brand new land. Be strong and courageous are some powerful words that we need right now. Be strong and courageous right now. We're facing a time that our church has never faced before. Would I have ever thought that I would be preaching a trial sermon from a parking lot on a 90-degree day in June? The answer is no. Be strong and courageous. But I can still hear those words that God was speaking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I am with you. And I take that message to heart. You know, every day I come to the office and you're faced with new questions about when are we going to enter the sanctuary for worship? I go to bed every night thinking that same question. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Each meeting we attend, and a new question pops up. Each virtual meeting I attend. I know that our present ministry at First Baptist Elon, God is with us. We're having to approach ministry in a brand new way. He has blessed us with a wonderful staff. He has blessed us for many years with a gifted church family who is always serving in their calling. Again, that's God saying, I am with you. Nevertheless, we live in a time of uncertainty. And I can honestly say that the church for the next year is probably going to look different from any time our church has ever looked before. But that's okay, because you know why? Because I am with you, quoted by God. And we can be strong and courageous. Whether it's a major change or a minor change for the health and safety for our entire congregation, things are going to be different. However, that's okay. That's okay, because just as was said to Joshua, I am with you. But it doesn't end there, because finally, God will be with Joshua and the tribes of Israel going forward into the future. The land promised to the people of Israel was one that extended generations back. It wasn't a temporary promise. It had been promised for generations. The generations preparing to take the land only heard the stories from their fathers about this land with flowing with milk and honey. They heard that from their fathers and grandfathers. They didn't know what that meant. Now, as they were standing on the border of the promised land under this new leadership of Joshua, they could feel their ancestors' dreams come true. They were this close. They were this close. And what did that mean? This meant that momentous occasion that they had been wanting for years was almost there. Were they ready? If they were having to do it alone, they weren't ready. If they were having to do it by themselves, they weren't ready. If Joshua was having to do it alone, he wasn't going to be able to do it. If he was having to lead the people by himself, they weren't going to succeed. But who was guiding their path? God was. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses has commanded you. Verse 7. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Verse 8. The Lord of our God is with you wherever you go. Verse 9. Joshua and the tribes of Israel would not be alone as they moved forward into the future. Hear that again. Joshua and the tribes of Israel would not be alone as they moved forward into the future. First Baptist Elon will not be alone as they move forward into the future, because God is with us. Just as God had planned for the tribes of Israel, He has special plans for our congregation as we move into the future. As we continue to embrace our ministry in the time of this pandemic, as we continue to use technology as an avenue to increase our visibility in our worship, in our Bible studies, that doesn't stop as soon as we move down to the sanctuary. That continues. Bible studies via Facebook Live will continue. We'll continue to do Bible studies in the classroom, but we'll also continue to reach out and reach new people by using technology. We'll continue to live stream our worship service on Sunday morning so we reach more people. We will also continue to reach out beyond just using technology. We'll be connecting with churches in our community, not just through community worship services, which we already do, but also through missions and through opportunities to reach and collaborate across cultural and social justice lines to make a difference, not just in our community, but in our county and across our state. We'll also continue to use opportunities to connect within our congregation. One of the bedrocks of our congregation and something that brought our family together 29 years ago were the opportunities for our families to get together on a regular basis. And once we get beyond this pandemic time, we will gather together as a church family more regularly. That is something that we thrive on. And part of that fellowship is also not just sitting with the people that we know because we like to sit with the people we know. It's connecting beyond that. One of the things that I love and one of the things that I study and I enjoy is connecting across the generations. Intergenerational ministry is something I study and it's what thrives in churches. And this is something that I intend to do in our congregation more, because when we connect across generations, we start making connections that last longer. That is something that I look forward to doing more in our congregation. Another area that God has blessed our church with is a heart for missions. I'm excited about seeing ways to connect these individual mission projects that we do and making those connections so when a Sunday school class is doing a mission project and a youth group is doing a mission project, maybe we make connections to make those connections more, where we connect generations together and we make mission connections, which we become a missional church, not just a mission project church. Something I think our church can be excited about. Everybody has a part. Everybody has a part. When Joshua was planning to go across the Jordan River, it wasn't about two or three people going across the Jordan River. It was everybody. Because God was leading the whole for all the tribes of Israel across the Jordan River. They weren't just taking two or three, or 10 or 15. He was taking the whole group. That's what our church is about. Now, my question to you is this. If God is ready to move us forward into the future, are you ready to go with us? You see, God will be with FBC Elon as we move forward into the future. And just as the tribes of Israel were sitting on the edge of the Jordan River, God was not having them stay there. He didn't bring them to the river and say, okay, do it on your own. And the question to you I have to ask you this morning, FBC Elon, is this. Are you ready to step into the Jordan River with me on this new beginning? Let us pray. Father God, I give you thanks for this congregation. I give you thanks for 29 years of shaping my life. I give you thanks for the past. I give you thanks for the present. And I give you thanks for the future of this congregation. I give you thanks for the biblical model of Joshua so many years ago as he stood on the banks of the Jordan River. And the promise that you gave them that said, I am with you. And the command to say, be strong and courageous and move forward because I am with you. Father, we know that you are with us right now. And you're ready to move us forward. We lift this prayer to you today, confident that you are with us. And we lift this prayer knowing that we look forward to many more years of opportunity to serve and honor you within and outside these walls. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we sing our invitation hymn today, if you feel that God is moving in you, if you feel that God is challenging you in a way that maybe you've never felt before, maybe the Spirit is moving in a way that he has challenged you to come forward at this time, I'll be down front. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off another day. If you feel like this is a church home, that maybe just like 29 years ago my family felt that this was the place for you, don't hesitate. Come down front this morning. This is a loving church home that will embrace you and find a place for you to minister and to serve in a way beyond words. If today is that day, come down front. Don't hesitate. Today is a day to honor and worship and celebrate. Let us sing together as we sing our invitation.
Can you join us as we sing The Bond of Love?
A word of benediction, and then I'll call on Amy Harrison for our special call business meeting. And if you are a visitor or guest, you are welcome to stay for our special round call, our special call business meeting, special round table meeting. That came out kind of funny. You're welcome to stay. If you choose not to, you are welcome to leave. Thank you for being here on our Father's Day Sunday. Let's have a word of prayer as our going out for our benediction. Father, it is a day to honor you. It is a day that we also recognize that Father's Day is a day of family, that we are reminded of our Heavenly Father who is with us always. We are thankful for you, another beautiful day of creation, a day of honor and serving you. And may we be reminded that wherever we go, you go with us because you are our Heavenly Father. We give you thanks for that. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
We will wait and allow anybody to leave that is a visitor or guest. I call this business meeting to order, and I'm going to turn it over to the chairs of our deacon board and the pastor search committee. Good morning. Today we are gathered to celebrate Father's Day and to worship together and to listen to David do his trial sermon. And now it is time for you to prayerfully consider to vote to call David to be our senior minister or not. Okay? The voting today, and we talked a little bit about it last week, is a little different. We are going to let you all vote while you're here. Then, and we're going to bring the ballots around in just a minute, but we also are giving our members who cannot be here this morning a chance to come by the church, the members who are listening to the service at home and who may listen to it this afternoon, to come by the church and vote until 8 o'clock tonight. At that time, after the 8 o'clock time, we will email you with the results of the vote. If you do not have email, your deacon knows that, and they're prepared to make some phone calls also. But let's go ahead and let me tell you how this is going to work. We have people who have the ballots in baskets. The ballots are in an envelope. Inside the envelope is a small pencil. You may vote on the ballot, return it to the envelope, hold it out the window of your car, and then they will come, or where you are seated, and they will come and collect the ballots also. So, are there any questions? Okay, you all ready? Okay, they're just going to spread out. You need to say anything? Okay, after you have turned in your ballot, you may leave. Just be real careful leaving because there are going to be people walking around in the parking lot. I would suggest going out that way instead of trying to come down and go this way. But if you need to go this way, that's okay too. But deacons and pastor search committee members, as you take the ballots up, be sure you keep them separate from the ballots that are already still in your basket, not being used yet. I could sing while you're doing that, but I won't. I'll let you prayerfully consider your vote instead. Thank you.